Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Welcome to the Status Flow here on Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your host, Chris King. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited about today's show because we have an amazing guest. She is the owner and founder, CEO of The Melody Works. Ashley Waldron is joining us. She's got an amazing story, and she's working on some incredible projects like stratospheric success. Ashley, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Me too. When I got this opportunity, I'm gonna tease this a little bit. I was really excited for a particular reason, because a project that you've worked on lately goes straight back to my adolescence. So we're going to touch on that in just a few minutes. First, tell us about The Melody Works. Tell us about your business and what you're doing.
Well, as you introduced, my company, The Melody Works, I work in the film music space primarily, but am now moving into film production specifically. I founded the company more than 11 years ago. I put it on hiatus for a short period of time when I'd gone in-house to a very corporate job that ended up not being a perfect fit for me. But for the past 11 years, I've been running my own firm, and my clients are specifically production companies that need guidance, most specifically in the film music space. But as my experience has grown and my client base has increased, I've found that I can be helpful for them in other areas where my ability to see a bigger picture, so to speak, has become useful. And most importantly, my relationships.
So what is it that makes somebody like you, you know, particularly a professional woman, want to go out on her own in the entertainment industry? Because that sounds like a daunting task. I actually had a colleague of mine in Chicago reached out to me and said his daughter is coming out here to pursue a career in the entertainment industry. What was that like for you to jump in like that?
That's a great question, because at the beginning of my career, the idea of not having a corporate job and the assurance of knowing what each day was going to look like, and the guarantee of a paycheck every 2 weeks that would arrive regardless of how great my work product was, that I would have never thought I would walk away from that until I had an opportunity to do so. And I had a chance while I was in a corporate job, and a filmmaker contacted me, and we just happened to click. And during those conversations, and once we decided to work together, and when I experienced that, I was very fortunate that the corporation that I was working for allowed me to essentially side hustle while I was working for them. They saw that there was an opportunity for benefit to them, which was the reason that they allowed that to happen. And in that experience, I realized I really had the ability to wake up every day and see what needed to be done and facilitate that. And that the freedom of not having the four walls and the clock in, clock out, the expectations, reasonable or unreasonable, of a corporate mandate was very freeing. And I actually discovered that I was more able to be my best self and willing to work so much harder in an environment that didn't try to contain me. And I suspect it was a slow evolution. I'd worked in the corporate environment for so long, I felt it was a comfortable place. And maybe that was it. The comfort stopped being comfortable. I found that my voice was stifled. I found that I had to play by rules that I had no part in setting or really not a lot of power in changing. So I'd find people taking credit for my work, and because I wasn't high enough on the totem pole, and the reason I wasn't high enough on the totem pole was completely inane, that I finally started to feel as if, hey, I can do this better on my own. I know I can. It was scary to make that leap, to take the chance, but I knew I had to. How could I ask anyone to invest in me in a way that I felt I needed to be, that was important, if I didn't actually believe in that myself? So there was a point where I finally felt comfortable enough to say no to corporate offers and continue to move forward in my own space.
You know, you said something really brilliant there and so magical. You said about an organization that, you know, being a part of something that wasn't trying to contain you. And I know so many, you know, women that I've worked with and at organizations where that is such a common thing, where they feel, like you said, you know, in your words, where you had no voice and you had no power and they were stifling you and containing you. So it sounds like you saw this opportunity to sort of stare the fear down, and it sounds like the freedom that you believed you could experience became more enticing than the fear around doing it. Is that, because that's what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. The ability to design my own life and what that would look like versus having it handed to me, in at least in my professional sector, I felt that I had a better chance in doing exactly the things I wanted to do. And I had very long and high aspirations. I saw what could be possible, and I didn't want to be in a position that kept that opportunity away or so far out of reach that I would be deadened by the time I had was given the opportunity. So I guess the mindset was I wanted to go get it versus waiting for it to be handed to me.
Wow, that's very powerful. I wanted to go get it rather than it be handed to me. That's brilliant. Now, do you have a history of this? I mean, have you made, you know, what I'll call crazy bets, right? Hey, I'm going to start my own company in the entertainment business, you know? Like, do you have a long history of, you know, jumping off the cliff, so to speak? Or was this a newer experience? I mean, what were you like, you know, whether growing up or as you entered adulthood? Is this kind of a history for you?
Certainly, as I entered adulthood, once I was out of my familial home, 100%, I wouldn't have recognized that in myself had you asked me this 10 years ago or 15 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. 10 years ago, yeah, I would have identified that I have this trait, that this is an aspect of my personality. Yes, 100%. I jump in, I say yes. And I know I'll figure it out. So I have enough faith in myself that I definitely know no matter what comes at me, I'm going to be able to sort it out and find a path through it. And you know, it won't be without challenge, but challenge doesn't scare me. So, yeah, I mean, I moved to California with $75. And I did it on, you know, my best friend was living here, and she's like, you should come. I think you'd like it. I'd never visited. I'd only seen California represented in film. And I said, okay, sure. I dropped out of college and announced to my father, oh, in 2 weeks I'm moving to California. He was thrilled. And
Wait, like really thrilled, or is that sarcastic thrilled?
Oh, that was pure sarcasm.
Okay, just
he was shocked, but he'd come to kind of recognize this aspect. It wasn't something he liked, but he came to recognize this as an aspect of my personality before I even recognized it. And so, yeah, I packed up and headed to California and arrived with $75 to my name. But I had the confidence that I would figure it out, so I did.
That's amazing. Now, I love what you just mentioned about you had the confidence. But that confidence was shaken at some point, and you and I have known each other for a little while now, but I think maybe it was, what, a couple, 3 years ago? Like, you weren't quite as, you're so powerful right now. Like I can feel, like, the energy coming through and your confidence and your strength, but it wasn't always that way. What was, where were you even 2-3 years ago or maybe even before then?
Well, I can admit that there was a long period of time, especially at the very beginning when I was starting on my own without the security of a guaranteed paycheck, and honestly, sometimes with the people I surrounded myself with, I worked from a scarcity mindset. I really was dug in deep in that mindset, which is almost self-fulfilling in my experience, that mindset will deliver scarcity. So, and it was very fear-based. So over time, I will tell you, I started to peel away these layers, and it didn't feel very good to be in that place, to feel at any moment doom was at the front door. So I worked on extracting myself from a relationship that fed into that cycle with the understanding that I was kind of at a crossroads, that it was do or die. And I really jumped because I did that with two kids and a humongous mortgage. And I extracted myself from something that felt more like it was tethering me to the mindset versus encouraging or in any way supportive. So I let go of the shame of who I was, and that took some work. I honestly felt there's an expression of not being enough, and I carried that in my mind for a very long time. I will say that the biggest pivot in the past few years, coaching, I found that with coaching, I was able to reprogram and work on the language that I used in terms of how I looked at myself. I stopped apologizing for myself. That was huge. That in and of itself forced me to look at how much ownership I took of other people's feelings, other people's behavior, anything that had absolutely nothing to do with me, but I was carrying the responsibility for it, at least psychologically in some way. And so when I stopped apologizing, again, that was something that I learned through coaching, releasing the scarcity mindset and setting some really healthy boundaries for myself, for my family, for my clients. It actually, that the more I stood up for myself with all of the people and both professional and personal, the more I set boundaries, the stronger I felt and the more evident it became that this was exactly the right way to set forth with purpose and to know that I was absolutely honoring myself and doing better by the people and clients in my life in that same way. So I was able to step forward in my own voice versus using the filter of everyone else's emotions or my clients' expectations. Not that I don't meet my clients' expectations, but you can do that at the same time that you're setting really healthy boundaries and letting them know what's possible and not possible. So I have to be really candid. Coaching really helped me pivot in a very important way. And it started with the language I was using and apologizing.
You know, I've heard so many women who say that word, you know, sorry, so many times.
Oh,
and your story is so so every woman, right? You know, you have two dependent children and scarcity mindset and over-responsibility for everybody else and their experience or their feelings, their reactions. And being a coach, like, I understand what you're saying. You know, the coach could shine the light on these things. What was the thing for you that made it click, where you were able to set some boundaries and draw that line in the sand and say no more, and where you stopped apologizing for yourself? What was that thing, that magic switch that flipped for you, and how did you do it?
I really became more vigilant about the language that I used in my communication, in how I presented myself in front of other people and to myself.
Can you give me an example? Like, what, when you say the language, I'd like to hear more. Tell me more about that.
Okay. Sure. I stopped beating myself up over things that it was not necessary for me to take responsibility for whether or not my father was proud of me or whether or not he loves the profession I was in. It was not my responsibility to take ownership of the way other people responded if I set a healthy boundary. And I stopped feeling shameful about my choices. I started to look at my life and what I'd accomplished, and really without the help of other than, you know, dear friends and supportive colleagues, but really on my own. I didn't have the benefit of family in the business. I didn't have the benefit of incredibly intuitive male role models. I had some great female role models, but, you know, honestly, some of the clients that I've had in a senior position in my life, well, you know, it wasn't fulfilling. So there was a point where I started to take a serious look at what I'd been able to accomplish on my own with virtually no help, not that I needed it, but with little support, I guess is the better word, and understood that I'd weathered some serious storms, and that in and of itself was something to be proud of. And then in that same focus, I would look at all of the things I'd been able to accomplish, all of the positive aspects of who I am as a human being, that I show up with integrity, that I show up with kindness, that I actually am quite capable in my field and beyond capable, actually. And the thing that I wish I could say it was a light switch, but it was a very quick evolution. From the moment I started to take a look at my life and how the filter that I was using, the lens that I viewed myself, and changed that and stop doubting stop limiting myself. I stopped limiting myself by beating myself up over looks or beating myself up over whether or not I actually finished a college degree, which I didn't. Beating myself up over things that absolutely had nothing to do with who I am and what I'm capable of. And started to reinforce the things that are, I would replace the negative words, the negative inner voice with affirmation of all of the things that are great. And I know that sounds so simple, but in practice, it actually takes effort. Mm-hmm. And it requires that you become very aware of what you say to yourself all day long. So that, when I really started to pay attention to that inner voice and what I said to myself, things dramatically changed.
That is so powerful. When you take command, when you take ownership of your inner script and your outer speech, and because it does drive neurochemistry, right? I mean, you know, on Status Flow, we do a lot in terms of neurochemistry, neurobiology, and driving neurochemistry. And when you're saying those negative things, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough, I don't have this certification or that degree, like advocating for the status quo, advocating for your limitations, and shifting your language around that has a powerful physiological effect as well as a psychological effect. And I love that you brought that up, because that alone seems to have had a powerful impact on your success and the way you feel about yourself. The measurement that I use is, you know, would you say to somebody else, your best friend, your son, your daughter, your significant other, would you say to them what you're saying to you?
Never.
Right? Never. Like, I'm so stupid. You're not good enough. Yes. It's such a dysfunctional relationship. Now, now you have a couple of kids, tell me a little bit about them and you and how you work this all out. Like, you've got your company and you've got kids that are dependent on you, and you have a full life. How do you manage it all? How can you do it all?
Well, isn't that always the magic question? How do you do it all? Or how did I do it all? I will say that a lot of the things, as I said a little bit earlier, I tend to jump both feet in and ask, and to some degree, I've had to ask them to just trust that I'm not taking us straight to the bottom, because they don't have as much of a voice in our journey. At least now they do, but then they didn't. So they had to trust me that I knew what I was doing, or at least could get us there if the jump didn't land us exactly where we wanted to be, that I would be able to get us there. So there's been an incredible trust there. They're both wonderful, bright, engaging kids. I'm very fortunate in that regard that they too are open to a quick pivot, they're both very open in personality. So that has been a huge benefit. So the changes, sometimes abrupt changes, like moving to Lake Arrowhead, it was kind of like, hey kids, guess what we're going to do next week? So they've been really open to exploring the journey, and they're used to that from me. So very often it's like, we're going to do a huge road trip over the summer, you know, pack your bag. And sometimes it's without much warning, but they've become accustomed to it. And it's how they've adjusted. I'm just mom. So to that regard, they don't know any different. I suppose they know some different because they see a more traditional life that their friends might be living. However, I'd like to think I'm instilling or reinforcing the belief that you can go out and carve your own way and make decisions that aren't traditional and still have a really fantastic time in life. So I think that what they've gotten from this experience of me being their mother is that you really can make some radical moves and be all the better for it. I mean, they're thrilled that we moved to Arrowhead, although they were shocked when I presented it. They thank me all the time that we're here because they're thriving.
I love that. Make some radical moves and be all the better for it. That's so cool. Now, earlier I mentioned, and you mentioned, that you had some that you really catapulted your success. And something that is particularly successful that we absolutely have to talk about because it hits my demographic square in the middle of the eyes, right? you are a co-producer on this little movie that came out recently, the third installment of the Bill and Ted franchise, Bill and Ted Face the Music. That is where you are at this point because you've been able to make these shifts. Tell us about what that was like seeing your name on the big screen as a producer of this movie.
It felt exactly right, to be honest. I know what I am able to bring to the table.
You see, that's damn right. That was what you thought. That's awesome.
I can't frame it any other way. I know what I bring to the table. And that's one of the things that in my career, I've been able to demonstrate to my clients that I show up and I deliver. And I have been incredibly fortunate in that I have clients that I've now worked with for 10 plus years that trust me implicitly. And 100% of my business is referral. I don't advertise. I don't social media all that much. I really am reliant on the people that I work with to not just continue to work with me, but to evangelize on my behalf, which I've been fortunate that they have. And not only that, they continue to be incredible filmmakers. So I happened to be brought on. I'd worked on another very tiny, before Bill and Ted, a very small independent project. I am sometimes considered a crime scene cleaner of film music. I come in and I'll work and clean up after other music supervisors sometimes to make a film deliverable. So I very often get called on projects that have some issues. And I go in and I clean it and I do a forensics and I get the filmmakers to the finish line. And on a prior project, I'd worked with a specific producer who asked me to come on board and do what I do. And that was for Bill and Ted. I was absolutely just gobsmacked. I felt the same way you do. I wanted to work on this film very badly. Mm-hmm. And I knew what I could bring to the table outside of the music component. And the bar was set so incredibly high. It took a lot of faith for them, honestly, to believe that I would deliver and to then deliver, and the machinations of putting together the financing. I was responsible for bringing in some of the financing on the film, was extraordinary. And yeah, I've been working on the film for almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. So, and the fun history with that is that I actually was the receptionist at the production company who did the first two Bill and Ted's. So for me,
what a beautiful bookend.
Yeah, it was a very coming home story, and working with some of the same people that were on the film. Now, I was not involved in the day-to-day. I was just answering phones. And I was very young in my career, so I wouldn't have expected more at that time. But it was very, very interesting to share stories with a lot of the people that were there at the beginning and were still here now, of those early days of Bill and Ted, which was a surprise hit. I don't think anybody expected it. Actually languished, I think, for a year before it finally was released by Nelson Entertainment. But to your question, yeah, it felt like a coming home. And honestly, this is the trajectory that I anticipated and what I'd been planning for. So to see that and knowing what I was able to bring to the table for this production, it felt right. And I was, you know, I'm thrilled to have the opportunity. I'm grateful that I have clients that trust me enough to let me be a part of it. And I'm grateful that I'm able to actually deliver what I say I'm going to deliver.
From a receptionist during Bill and Ted 1 to a producer of Bill and Ted 3 with her name on the big screen, like such an incredible story and trajectory, and you have all of these human elements. We've only got about a minute left here, and I want to ask one last question is that right now there is a woman, maybe even a man, listening to this show that has been doing the things that you did in your past, the negative self-talk, the advocating for the limitations. Here's all the reasons it won't work. Here's all the reasons I can't do it. What do you want to say to her or him right now in this space, knowing that they're on the brink of a breakthrough?
Trust that you're headed in the right direction. Trust yourself to make the first step to becoming more integrated into who you are, eliminating the negative self-talk. Find a coach if you need to have a partner help you through it. Meditate every morning. That will set your day. It was a gift that my coach bestowed. Made a daily practice of meditation. It really does set your day. And know that you already know where you need to go. Believe in yourself. Take that first step. Trust yourself that you will be able to get yourself there. And let go of the fear. Let go of the shame. It's a process, but worth every minute that you invest. If you don't invest in yourself, you're going to have a hard time finding other people who will invest in you.
Beautifully said. And with that, you can go from getting that success and thinking, I can't believe it, to getting that success and thinking, damn right. Love that. Ashley Waldron, CEO and founder of The Melody Works and producer of Bill and Ted Face the Music. Thank you so much for joining us today here on The Status Flow on Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. We will see you next time. Thank you so much.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.